only read 12 pages, and the chapter is actually and the chapter is 26 pages long. There's an appendix. Seems like a lot of endnotes. There's an appendix here. No, but Farah. This is appendix. Okay, this is not very long, but this is called How Shukdev Goswami's Words Satisfy Mother Yashoda's Heart. In chapter 1, page whatever it was, Mother Yashoda says, if the son of Vyas praised my Gopal with the most select words and rhythm, perhaps his compositions would be the nectar for which my ears hanker. The following appendix is an elaboration on Shukadeva Goswami's own elaboration of Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.2 based on a linguistic analysis by Sridhar Swami, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Baladeva Vidyabhushan. Would Shukadeva Goswami's songs be the remedy to cure the longing of Mother Yashoda's heart? Surely. After all, they were cherished by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they were also Krishna in the form of transcendental sound. How could they not satisfy his mother's heart? Inspired by her songs, and to convince her that in his Bhagavatam descriptions of his son, he would invoke the best of his literary skills, as well as his cream of his spiritual realizations, the great sage offers Vrajas Queen a sample of his poetry. This is that verse of the Bhagavatam. It's a second verse, third verse. Yani yani ha gitani tadbala charitani cha dadhi nirmantani kali swaranti tani agayataha. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities. Yani yani agitani tadbala charitani cha. And while the rhyme, alliteration, rhythm, and meter of this verse, as beautiful as its subject, was an indication of the poetic spirit inspired in Shukadeva Goswami, it had yet to pass the test of the ultimate critic. Before his words could be uttered from Shukadeva's heart, Krishna asked, O sage, what is the mystery in repeating the word yani, all such things? Repetition is generally a fault, and your repetition also leaves an audience wondering, what things? What things? Without immediately answering the question, Vyasa's son smiled. O Lord, I offer my respectful obeisance to you. By adding the suffix iha, I meant to say, those things your mother did while she was churning. What things did she do? She sang songs, gitani. For that reason I said yani yani, meaning these songs, those songs, all songs. Recognizing the playfulness of his devotee, Krishna asked, which song did she sing? Was there one that was her favorite? Truly, he answers, truly everyone has a favorite song, and your mother's may be one that starts Yashumati Nandana Vrajavarana Gara Gokula Ranjana Kana. But my Lord, that day she sang many songs. She sang songs that are very famous in this world, Iha. Indeed, that song is world famous, but don't you mean she sang the songs you have already composed in the Bhagavatam? It may be like that. But by saying Iha, I meant specifically the songs composed in Braj by your own people, which have now become famous in this world. Songs like those of killing Putana and other pastimes. But why did you not say Krishna Charitani so that everyone will know these songs are my pastimes? I did. You said Tad Bala Charitani, and that means the pastimes of that boy. But there are innumerable boys in Braj, what to speak of this world, Iha. Now it was Shukadeva's turn to smile. O treasure of your mother's heart, in Braj there's only one boy people compose songs about. It is you. By saying Tat Bala, that boy, I add to your glory by announcing you without naming you. In this way I hope to please your mother. After a good-natured pause, Krishna added, so she sang songs about me that were composed by Braja's bards or by their wives. She heard those, especially during the evening performances at Nanda Bhavan. But collecting their essence, she preferred to sing songs that she composed herself, or those composed by devotees very close to her. I see. That is why Cha connects the two sentences and invokes the word agayata, chanted. And in that way, it connects the two verbs. Remembering what the bards had composed, she recited them in her own words and her own mood. And the vibration of these wonderful songs must have also mixed with the yogurt she was churning, surely. Perhaps that was why she sent away her many servants that day. She wanted to sing all my sweet exploits while churning. The sage nodded. That is certainly the external reason. Is there another? Smiling, Shukadev said, my lord, when you are scheming in their hearts, how will you hide your plants from your servants? O learned one, what am I hiding then? The real reason why all the maidservants were absent on Deepavali day is that you wanted to become Damodar. Had anyone else been present, they would have stopped your mother from binding you. Krishna quickly placed his forefinger before his lips, saying, shh. Having silenced the sage, he concluded, you have done well, and I am pleased. Continue with your kirtan, and bless the ears of the world. And that with that, Krishna went silent and seemed to disappear. That was that appendix. And we finished chapter 1, so this is chapter 2. And chapter 2, this is following the two verses. Verses 4 and 5. Chapter 1 was verses 1, 2, and 3. While Mother Yashoda was churning butter, Lord Krishna, desiring to increase her transcendental pleasure, he caught hold of the churning rod and began to prevent her from churning. Mother Yashoda then embraced Krishna, allowed him to sit down on her lap, and began to look upon the face of the Lord with great love and affection. Because of her intense affection, milk was flowing from her breast. But when she saw that the milk pan on the oven was boiling over, she immediately left her son to take care of the overflowing milk, although the child was not yet fully satisfied with drinking the milk of his mother's breast. So, those are the verses. And this is what the acharyas say. Mother Yashoda attends to her duties. There was a moment of silence. Krishna was gauging his mother's reactions and watching as she was withdrawing from her immersion in thoughts of him and reconnecting to the external world. Seated in bed, tears flowing down his cheeks, Krishna sobbed silently because Krishna pretended to wake up and was crying, Mother, Mother. Spontaneously, he looked around, searching for his close friends, but they were absent. Everyone was preparing for Deepavali. Looking again to his mother, his heart swelled with love to see her riding the relentless surf of oceanic affection for him. He thought, I must get up, stop her churning, and drink the milk of her breast. I must. Thinking in that way, his hunger for milk rose to his tongue, impelling him to fulfill its need. Suddenly, his wandering eye caught the crystal container of sweets on the nightstand. The tempting Manohar Ladu seemed to say, Oh, little boy, if you are hungry, eat me. And the rock candy next to the Ladu, No, eat me first. But Krishna's hunger for his mother's milk was not simply part of his childish pastimes. His hunger arose from the special affection he cherished for his mother, affection that was the very bedrock of his childhood pastimes. And in the way that hunger becomes intolerable for one who has not eaten, Krishna's yearning for his mother's love milk was becoming unbearable due to the unrequited love within him. So in ecstasy, he again cried out, Mother, Mother. Since Yashoda could not yet solace her child, love, prema, took it upon itself to do so. Because Mother Yashoda is still absorbed in the pastime she's singing about. Fear not, O Lord. Surely your mother will fulfill your desire shortly and bring you great bliss. Considering this, Krishna replied, O essence of pure pleasure, O you who know everything, please hear this. Due to her great love for me, Mother is submerged in divine emotions. However, by my pastimes today, I shall bring her far greater pleasure than she has ever known. And I'm eager to do so. That is why I'm crying. I want her to achieve the pinnacle of motherly love. With what pastime will you two scale that mountain of mutual devotion? With something very special. May I know what that special pastime is? Krishna looked around again. He was still alone with Yashoda. It was my heartfelt desire that we be alone, so that I can taste the bliss of being bound by my mother's hands, and so that she can relish the nectar of doing so. Bound? Yes, I want to feel tied by the ropes of mother's love, helpless and captive. Only then will I know what devotees feel when they are bound to me by love. The ropes I use for tying cow's legs, the Niryoga Pasha, are my ropes of love. O Prema, you know this well. With those ropes do I tie the hearts of the Brijbasis to the stake of spontaneous service, and with those ropes do I also lasso conditioned souls and drag them to this divine abode. But Krishna paused for a moment, preparing to announce a momentous truth. But I do not know what it's like to be bound by the ropes of my devotee's love. Prema wondered, How is that? Your heart is not only tied, it is the property of devotees. You yourself said, Sadavodi Dayamayam. Krishna stopped crying momentarily and winked. That's true. But I want to feel their love not just within my heart, but with my entire being. Looking back at Queen Yashoda, Krishna added, And especially I want to feel her love. I want to feel it all around my transcendental form, like the air that now surrounds me. Prema asked, But why do you have to be alone to achieve that end? Because I'm afraid that someone may interfere with my plans. Who will let me be bound? Do you think Balaram, Sridham, or even the maids would let mother do that? That is why I encourage brother to visit our uncle and my friends to busy themselves with Deepavali. O Lord, I'm certainly very eager to see this day's adventure unfold. Krishna concluded, O Prema, I shall depend upon you to manifest extraordinary powers so that mother and I can taste your very essence, unprecedented ecstatic emotion. Please satisfy me in all respects. Lord, it shall be as you desire. Yashoda still continued to churn, mechanically, like one in a magical trance. But the continued swish-swish of the churn did not sit well with Krishna. Climbing down from the bed, still sleepy-eyed and wearing only a kopan, he tottered in the direction of his mother. Once long ago, the demons and demigods churned the ocean of milk, and from that churning many wonderful beings appeared, like Monihini Murti, Danvantari, and even Lakshmi Devi. But when Yashoda Devi churned yogurt, the most wonderful being, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared. And Krishna's rising was joyfully met by the waiting world. The earth turned butter soft at the touch of his feet. The morning breeze caressed his limbs. The chirping birds praised his beauty. And the festive sounds of Gokula gladdened his heart. And as he walked, Krishna's ankle bell tinkled in accompaniment to his crying. Finally, Yashoda came to full external consciousness. From the corner of her eyes, Yashoda watched Krishna approach. Eager to relish his moods and movements, she did not greet him, but waited until he stood behind her, stretching his body, rubbing his eyes, and murmuring, "Mother, mother." No response. Upset at being spurned, Krishna grabbed Yashoda's skirt with his right hand, and leaning forward, he caught hold of the churning rod with his left hand. "Oh, my beloved son, you are awake. How wonderful." Queen Yashoda greeted her son with words of kindness while still pulling on the churning rope. Swish, swish. But Krishna didn't want any more swish, swish. Now placing his other hand on the churning rope, he gave up his tears and said firmly, "No, stop, stop." And when Yashoda pulled on the rope again, he added, "Mother, don't churn." Yashoda stopped and gazed lovingly into her son's tear-streaked but determined face. Still holding on to the churn, he leaned against her breast, making known his intentions. Yashoda's heart welled up in affection, and milk trickled from her breast, further moistening her upper garment. "How charming he is," she thought. To impress upon her the urgency of his want, Krishna tugged against the churning rope. His effort was not lost on her. Putting the rope down, Yashoda placed her hands under his arms and raised Krishna to her lap. Gazing for a moment at the indescribable beauty of her son, she drank that beauty through her eyes and was about to nurse him when she stopped and pondered, "Why does my son look so different, so beautiful, and in ways I have never seen before? Has he changed in some mysterious way, or is it I who have never really looked at him so deeply? Why?" Unbeknown to Queen Yashoda, love had followed Krishna's order to create an unprecedented pastime by giving her unprecedented eyes with which to explore Krishna's fathomless beauty. So intense and revelatory was Yashoda's experience that as she gazed at him, she momentarily considered, "Is this really Krishna?" Yes, it was him. The power of divine love is such that it reveals Krishna's sweetness, freshness, beauty, and charm in proportion to love's intensity. Thus, by her newly evolved affection, Yashoda was seeing Krishna in never-before-seen ways. And tomorrow we'll continue how Mother Yashoda was seeing Krishna. Jai Shri Radha Damodara.